CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. He's in the Washington area. And our special guest, Sergio de la Peña, formerly the deputy assistant secretary of defense for Western Hemisphere Affairs. We begin, Joseph, with the question of AMLO. Last week we touched on the fact that the president of Mexico had shown support or in some fashion was sympathetic to the troubles in Havana of that government facing protests by the young people of Cuba or all people of Cuba because of the broken economy during the pandemic. The question is, what is in it for AMLO to take that risk, to reach out to a government that is certainly a bad actor, regarded as a bad actor uniformly now after the brutality? So how does AMLO gain from this, Joseph, in your measure?
John, I think it's important when we talk about AMLO, in particular with his relations with Cuba, is to not just look at it from a pragmatic position in terms of who gets what and who gains. There's a revolutionary framework that precedes this relationship that's built upon the Castro regime, obviously the regime inside Havana, and AMLO's revolutionary underpinnings that go all the way back to when the Cuban communists were planning the revolution from Mexico. And I think that AMLO grew up under these revolutionary frameworks, and he sympathizes with the ideology of the island. He also looks at the strategic benefits that Havana has with pretty much all his allies in the Western Hemisphere and the world. I'm talking about China, Russia, Venezuela, Nicaragua. So AMLO sees it almost as a duty to protect Cuba as much as the same way China, Russia, and Venezuela see it as a duty to protect Cuba. And obviously the Cuban regime helps these type of more autocratic presidents by providing them with intelligence support. One of the few things that Cuba still has that's effective is their counterintelligence and human intelligence network region-wide. So I think there's some benefits that he receives on that front, but I think the relationship extends even further, particularly with the ideological kinship that AMLO would have with the Cuban regime in Havana.
Sergio, the midterm elections, Joseph and I and our colleague Senator Cabal, we discussed the disappointment of the midterm elections from AMLO's point of view, because there was presumption, there were lots of articles about it before the election, that he would win a majority or a sufficient number of seats in the Congress in order to change the Constitution or adjust it in some fashion through moving the courts around. It's very elaborate, but it didn't happen. In fact, the midterm elections were afterwards regarded as a setback for AMLO. Since then, AMLO's been quiet, although he claimed a success in the midterms. How to regard this reaching out to the regime in Havana, which is not only declared unacceptable by Washington, also by the European Union? There have been sanctions visited upon members of that government. What is your opinion? Does this connect to the disappointment at the midterms that AMLO's decided to make common cause with authoritarians?
I think I'm with Joseph in that Cuba and Mexico have always shared a special relationship. There's only been a couple of presidents that have given Castro any pushback. One was President Fox and the other was President Calderon. And in both cases, they were lukewarm. In the case of President Fox, he told him to leave and not stay for a dinner once they had convened all of the leaders in Latin America. And that created a kerfuffle because Castro made that public. But Mexico's always had an interesting relationship with Cuba. in the case of AMLO, he's more in line with the philosophy of Cuba. And Cuba, not only are they good with intelligence, they've also been the doctrinal leaders in the communist movement in this hemisphere. And they've been a thorn in the side of many a government because they do push for communism in the region. And you can see that in Nicaragua. You can see that in Bolivia. You can see what's happening in Peru. All of these people are tied together. And the unique thing about AMLO is he's created something called El Grupo de Puebla, the Puebla Group. The Puebla Group gives more legitimacy to the left because these are statesmen. These are former presidents from the left that are looking to have more like-minded governments of their ilk in the hemisphere. And they include people like Lula. They include people like Correa from Ecuador. They've got Samper from Colombia and some of these other folks that are from either the center left or all the way to socialist and communist that are part of that organization. And it's hosted in Mexico.
Sergio, we just have a minute before we're going to turn to Peru. Mexico is in a position to do very well as people rearrange the supply chain. Is AMLO getting credit for the prospects of the Mexican economy reviving?
I'm not one of those that believe that Mexico's economy is reviving that much. A lot of it has to do with they've been shut down. You turn the water back on like we did with everybody. Everybody shut down during COVID. Once you open it back up, it's going to come back to a certain degree, but he's going to get some credit because that's what every president's going to do. You compare what's happening today with what's happening tomorrow, and you've got all this pent up energy that needs to get back and open up the market. So you're going to see a jump forward, but I'm not so sure that it's real.
Is he popular? That's a general term, Sergio. What do you hear from Mexico City, or is he a disappointment? We have about 30 seconds in this segment.
He's less popular than he was. And what you were describing is he lost the supermajority, which what he was trying to do with that is to change the no re-election laws in Mexico. Because in Mexico, you have a 6-year presidential period. He wanted to extend that. And I don't think that's going to happen now that he's lost some of his popular support and the votes he needed in Congress.
So, Joseph, can we put AMLO down as disappointed, a disappointed strong leader? Is that fair, Joseph?
He's been a disappointment for me since the day he was inaugurated. But here's the thing. In either case, he's going to move even faster now at going through his transformation now that he knows he doesn't have a second term.
Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. Sergio de la Peña, formerly deputy assistant secretary of defense for Western Hemisphere. We turn to Peru because there's a new president there and a new cabinet. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.